Chapter 12, Annabelle. Annabelle was quiet. Although her physical presence was lovely, sometimes it almost seemed as if she were an apparition who had crossed the veil of mystery into a world in which she did not belong. Her whimsical smile was intriguing to the men, but all the girls knew it only masked the emptiness that lingered deep within her heart. The look in Annabelle's eyes told a story of love lost and a soul wandering in the darkness of loneliness and grief. The love of her life was gone, and she had learned how to be a superb actress in order to survive. This is Annabelle's story. Annabelle's father left when she was only 3 years old, and when he did, her mother became a housekeeper for the Williamson family in Kansas City. Annabelle's mother, Clarissa, had long wavy brown hair and crystal blue eyes. For many years, she was a beautiful woman, hidden behind an apron and a broom. They lived in a small bungalow behind the Williamson's mansion, where sometimes Mr. Williamson, usually with a strong smell of liquor on his breath, visited Annabelle's mother in the middle of the night. He would stumble, laugh, and make stupid remarks as if he were the funniest man in the world. Annabelle remembered her mother looking at her with sad eyes as she moved her daughter from their bedroom to a small sofa in the living room. There Annabelle would sleep while her mother entertained Mr. Williamson behind a locked door. When Annabelle turned 16, Mr. Williamson began commenting on how pretty Annabelle was becoming. One afternoon he came into the kitchen where Annabelle was alone, cutting vegetables while her mother was in the dining room polishing silver. Mr. Williamson gave her a package wrapped in white paper and a frilly red bow. Annabelle opened it to find a dainty ornate silver music box and smiled as the tune played in her hand.
"Thank you, Mr. Williamson."
He picked up a strand of Annabelle's long, wavy, golden hair.
"I like giving you presents, Annabelle. I want to buy you lots of presents. Anything you want if you're nice to me."
Clarissa overheard him from the dining room. She panicked and ran quickly into the kitchen. Mr. Williamson glared at her with a twisted smile, and she stared back for a long, silent moment. Breaking the spell, Mrs. Williamson sauntered into the kitchen from the main hallway.
"Hello, everyone. Hello, dear. What a lovely music box, Annabelle. Clarissa, remember the Turners are coming for dinner tonight. And Mrs. Turner is allergic to chocolate, so make a lemony dessert. Also, the cat made a mess upstairs in the blue bedroom."
Mr. Williamson mumbled, shook his head, and left the house. Although she was aware of the matter at hand, Mrs. Williamson acted as if nothing was going on. She knew everything that went on in her house, including the fact that the gift to Annabelle was from her husband. She had a small collection of music boxes she had received when they were first married. Clarissa had collected half a dozen herself. Although nothing was said between the two women, they had a mutual understanding. Clarissa gave in to Mr. Williamson's desires to keep her job and never complained. As long as Clarissa was taking care of her husband, Mrs. Williamson didn't have to. Both women knew they were better off pretending nothing was really going on. For years, Clarissa quietly had done her work, going through the motions day to day, trying to manage and raise her daughter as best she could. She did not have many options for work and was grateful to have a job at all. Clarissa had run away with Annabelle's father when she was only 17. Her own father was abusive to Clarissa, and although her mother knew her father was molesting their daughter, she never challenged him. Clarissa had an Aunt Beverly whom she adored. Her aunt's husband was a professor at Northwest Missouri State University in Maryville. When Clarissa was a young girl, her mother sent her to visit Aunt Beverly to get some relief from the situation at home. Panic washed over Clarissa with the events of the morning. Mr. Williamson, master of the house, always got what he wanted. No questions asked. Clearly, Annabelle was the new object of his affections, and Clarissa was worried. She felt like she was in an uncompromising situation and was afraid Annabelle would be trapped like she had been. Clarissa wanted more for her daughter, and sending her away was the best solution, at least for now. That evening, Clarissa packed up Annabelle's belongings. The next day, she would put her on a train to stay with her Aunt Beverly in Maryville, Missouri.
Annabelle, dear, I called your Aunt Beverly. I've made arrangements for you to stay with her for a while. I think it will be the best thing for now. I'm not sure how much longer I'll be working here. Mr. Williamson will be angry when he sees you are gone, but I'll think of something. You deserve better, Annabelle. You just deserve better.
But, Mama, I don't want to leave you.
You will only be 20 miles away, honey. We'll be together again. I promise. Aunt Beverly is a wonderful lady and will take good care of you. I'll figure it out.
Clarissa hugged her daughter. As she watched Annabelle waving from the window of the train, she realized what a lovely young woman she had become. Aunt Beverly was a 64-year-old spunky woman, full of life, and although she missed her mother terribly, Annabelle quickly fell in love with Aunt Beverly. In Maryville, a quaint town with friendly people, Aunt Beverly belonged to a quilting circle. Even though she was a bit feeble, her spirit was strong. Annabelle picked up extra money watching children during the day. The first time Annabelle saw Billy sweeping off the porch of the grocery store in the downtown square of Maryville, he had just graduated from high school. Since Billy was an orphan, his Uncle Charlie, who owned the grocery store, had taken him in and hired Billy to stock, clean, and deliver groceries. When Annabelle saw him, she could not stop staring.
Who is he?
As if he was reading her mind, Billy glanced up, tipped his hat, and smiled. Startled, Annabelle managed to return the smile.
Hello.
It was love at first sight.
Hey, I get off in an hour. Why don't you come back, and I'll buy you a soda?
After that first day, Annabelle went to the store every day at 5:45 and waited for Billy to get off at 6. They spent every evening together. People smiled when they saw them together. Billy made Annabelle laugh, and Annabelle made Billy feel more like a man. One evening in September, Billy presented Annabelle with a ring.
Marry me, Annabelle. You make me want to be a better man. Uncle Charlie is helping me get into the university. I'll work and go to school at night. I can do it as long as I have you. I love you so much, Annabelle.
Of course I'll marry you, Billy.
It was decided they would marry in June. World War I had turned into a major bloodbath, especially for the British. As the number of casualties grew overseas, it was becoming more and more apparent that Billy might be drafted and called to serve. The young couple decided not to wait. Therefore, on March 7, 1918, Annabelle and Billy recited their wedding vows with the Justice of the Peace in Maryville, surrounded by Clarissa, Aunt Beverly, and Uncle Charlie. It was both a happy occasion and a very solemn one as well. Clarissa was both excited and worried for her daughter. Billy moved into Aunt Beverly's with Annabelle. Sometimes Beverly went to a friend's to give the couple some privacy for a few hours. Whenever the newlyweds had the house to themselves, as far as they were concerned, it was the happiest place on earth. By June of 1918, Billy had been drafted. Billy and Annabelle did their best to cheer each other up, but the darkness of the war took the couple from joy to despair. A few days before Billy left, they spent the weekend in a small cabin on Mozingo Lake. It rained all day Saturday, so they spent all day in bed, the happiest and saddest day for both of them. That afternoon, Billy took his clothes off and started dancing around the room. It made Annabelle laugh. They were so in love. The day Billy left, Annabelle had a horrible feeling she might never see him again.
I'll write you every day.
I'll write you too, Annabelle. I love you.
Come home to me, Billy.
As soon as she returned home from the train station, she ran inside, went directly to the desk, pulled out a piece of paper, and started to write.
My dearest Billy, it has been less than an hour since I have seen you, and my heart aches so much I feel it will burst. I'm thinking about our time at the lake, and if I close my eyes, I can relive every precious moment of our time together on that rainy Saturday. I see the light in your eyes when you looked at me, and the way you held me in your arms after our sacred union was complete. You made me laugh so hard when you danced around the room. It was the best day of my life. I think of the first day we met, and all of our happy times together. I choose to think of these memories when I'm missing you, my darling. Our tears at the train are still washing over my broken heart. I love you so much, Billy. You are my life and my soul. I can't write anymore right now. The tears have clouded my eyes and I can no longer see. I will write to you tomorrow, my love. Your loving wife, Annabelle.
Aunt Beverly invited Clarissa to move in, and she gladly accepted. She had had enough of Mr. Williamson, and more than that, she needed to be close to her daughter. Clarissa found work as a clerk in downtown Maryville. Annabelle wrote Billy every day, sometimes two or three pages, sometimes just a paragraph. Either way, she kept her promise. Getting mail to the soldiers was difficult, but when letters finally arrived, nothing was more precious. Billy kept a photo of Annabelle with him. He was not emotionally prepared for the hell of war. None of the boys were. His company had to shave the hair on their bodies because they had been infected with lice. Rotting corpses of boys and young men in shallow graves were so common, Billy became immune to the reality of what he smelled. Fear consumed Billy as random bullets blew by, sometimes killing a young man he had been talking to just minutes before. The day Billy opened Annabelle's letter with the happy news, Billy cried out loud with joy.
Dear Billy, I am so happy. We are going to have a baby. I know it happened on that rainy afternoon, probably after you did that funny dance. Come home to me, Billy. I'm waiting for you. Your loving wife, Annabelle.
Billy was filled with excitement. He was going to be a father, and that changed everything.
Hey, everybody. I'm going to be a dad. My wife's going to have a baby.
He managed to find some paper and wrote,
My dearest Annabelle, I just received the news that you are carrying our child. Right now, I am the happiest man on earth because the most beautiful woman in the world is having my baby. I think we can both agree it was that rainy day on the lake. I remember the exact moment we conceived. It was in a perfect, timeless moment where love is all there is. Because I love you so much, I want to tell you what is on my heart. I am scared, my dear Annabelle. I am not afraid of dying, only of the possibility of never seeing you again. My life is under constant threat. We never know when bullets will be fired at us, and shells are exploding every minute of the day. Men all around me are dying. If not from a stray bullet, they are falling with fever and disease. I can hardly sleep because of the booming and banging of the shells from both sides. I sleep on a bunk which has been placed in a dugout section of the trench. The floor and the roof are both made of mud, and the constant threat of the random bullets keeps me awake. The smell is unbearable, with body odor, death, and sewage. The mustard gas lingers for days after an attack. Rain constantly fills the trenches, and the men have sores on their feet that are so painful they can hardly walk. 4 friends in my squad have already died, and my best friend JT shot himself in the foot because he couldn't take this crazy war anymore. He's in an army hospital and will be going home soon. Last night, most of the A and B squads were killed before they were even 10 yards out of the trench. My squad will be climbing out of the trench tonight to attack the enemy. It all seems so barbaric and a futile waste of human life, but the powers seem to think we need to move forward even though they keep sending these poor souls to their deaths. If I die tomorrow, I know I have experienced both heaven and hell in this lifetime. You are my heaven, my joy, and my happiness. I love you beyond words, and I love our little baby. Love is the greatest power of all, and I know we will somehow be together again. Please take care of yourself, and know it is the thought of you that feeds my soul and fills my heart every moment I am in this hell on earth. I pray this letter finds you, and that this will be one of many more letters to come. However, if I never see you again in this lifetime, know that I am with you always. I love you with all of my heart, my sweet Annabelle. Your loving husband, Billy.
Billy's letter arrived several weeks after the telegram came. Both broke Annabelle's heart. That fateful day, Clarissa answered the door to a man in a uniform who presented the message to Annabelle, who was sitting on the sofa.
No.
It is my painful duty to inform you that a report this day has been received from the War Office. The death of William Ellis King, which occurred on October 14, 1918. And I am to express to you the sympathy and regret of the Army Council at your loss. The cause of death was killed in action.
Annabelle rocked back and forth as she held her middle, feeling the tender life moving inside her womb. Then she fainted. Annabelle was heartbroken, beyond grief. Many days Annabelle did not get out of bed, and when she did, she wandered around the house singing.
Over there, the Yanks are coming. The Yanks are coming.
Clarissa was fearful that Annabelle was losing her mind. She was in her third trimester, and Clarissa and Aunt Beverly had to force her to eat. Sometimes Annabelle said crazy things.
Mama, I'm going to the store to see Billy. He gets off at 6, you know. We'll be home for dinner.
One day, out of the blue, Annabelle, with tears rolling down her eyes, whispered,
"He's gone, Mama."
Clarissa was on the sofa knitting a blanket for the baby. It was the first time her daughter had made any sense or even cried since that horrible day when she fainted after learning the news that Billy had died in action. Laying her knitting down, Clarissa gently put her arms around Annabelle.
"He's gone."
"I know, baby."
Clarissa led Annabelle to the sofa and helped her sit down. Then from the depths of her soul, Annabelle screamed,
"My Billy's gone, Mama. He's gone forever."
Clarissa reached for a pillow and put it on her lap. With tears streaming down her face, she held her daughter and stroked her hair as she felt Annabelle's body shake with long, painful sobs. Weeks of anguish purged from Annabelle as her mother struggled to soothe her despair. Nothing she could say or try to do could make it better. Clarissa's heart was breaking for her daughter. Finally, the blessed day came, and Annabelle gave birth to a healthy baby girl.
"I will call her Julie Marie. Billy's mother's name was Julie."
Little Julie Marie became Annabelle's whole world. She was a beautiful child with blonde curly hair and her father's big blue-green eyes. Annabel loved on her, danced and played with her, taught her songs, and read to her every night. Although the small family was destitute, they were happy, and little Julie Marie was the light of their lives. When Julie Marie was 2 years old, Clarissa was making less than $5 a week as a clerk, and Aunt Beverly had become feeble and never left the house. Annabel stayed at home and took care of little Julie Marie and her aunt. Money had become so scarce that Clarissa became desperate. There was no money and debts had to be paid. There was no way out. Clarissa went to Kansas City to ask her former employers if they could please help out. But when Mr. Williamson saw her, he was hateful and rude. All those years she had satisfied his needs meant nothing to him. Mrs. Williamson managed to give Clarissa money when he left the room.
Here is $400, Clarissa. It is the least I can do. You putting up with that old son of a bitch all those years.
I am so sorry. I didn't know what to do, and I was afraid he would fire me if I told him no. I knew you had to know.
Of course I did. In fact, I feel a little guilty. All those nights I told him no when he was drunk, I knew where he went. The way I saw it, every time you were doing my wifely duty, I didn't have to. So I never fussed about it.
After all this time, the two women were finally able to acknowledge it. With that, both women hugged each other, knowing that neither of them really had a choice to do what they had done.
Take care of that little grandbaby of yours. I will be praying for you. I wish I could have had children. You are blessed.
Thank you again for the money, Mrs. Williamson.
Call me Edith.
On a Sunday morning, a few days after Clarissa returned from Kansas, Aunt Beverly drew her last breath. Now that she was gone, it changed everything.
I don't want to stay here, Mama. Let's go start over somewhere.
Annabel went to Uncle Charlie, who had kept them in groceries the last year, since Billy had died in the war.
Mama and I need to go, Uncle Charlie. Everywhere I look, I see Billy. Can you help us?
Uncle Charlie held an estate sale and bought the new house and furniture. With that, there was enough money to pay off all the debts. So with the money Mrs. Williamson had given her and the little money left over from selling the household goods, Annabel, Clarissa, and little Julie Marie went to the train station. All they had were their suitcases and a couple of Aunt Beverly's trunks filled with some essentials and some precious keepsakes like the family Bible. Clarissa turned to Annabel as they stood in line to buy their tickets.
Where should we go?
Let's go to Texas. Billy often said he wanted to go to Texas.
Why not? Let's go to Texas.
The women were both excited and fearful. The future was a mystery, and they felt like they were walking into an abyss. They took their seats on the train and began a new adventure to God knows where. Looking out the window, little Julie Marie slapped on the glass and squealed with glee, waving to the people as the train pulled out of the station. People smiled and waved back. Clarissa patted Annabel's hand.
God will provide, sweetheart. We need a little faith. Remember the story of the mustard seed.
Julie Marie played with her doll as Annabel stared out the window. She looked at the countryside passing by, putting distance away from the only life she had ever known. After a few minutes, she noticed that Julie Marie was playing peekaboo with an attractive middle-aged woman. She was sitting in the seat across from them. The woman had a kind smile and was elegantly dressed. Annabel watched as the woman put her hands over her face and then spread them out playfully, saying, "Peekaboo!" Every time she did, Julie Marie giggled with delight and did the same.
Peekaboo!
She likes you.
She's a beautiful child. I cannot wait to get back to Texas. My husband died over a year ago, and I have been in Chicago visiting some old friends. I have a new friend with me, but she is resting right now. For a few minutes, the women rode in silence. Annabelle stared out the window, thinking about her Billy and their weekend on the lake. Tears filled her eyes as she replayed that magical day like thousands of times before.
I lost my Billy in the war. This is our little girl. She looks just like him.
He must have been handsome. She is a beautiful child. Where are you going, if I may ask?
We're going to Texas.
Where in Texas?
It might sound crazy, but we're really not sure. We're starting a new life. This is my daughter Annabelle, and this little lady is Julie Marie.
Very pleased to meet all of you. Such a lovely family. The woman looked at Clarissa. I can see where Annabelle gets her good looks. Clarissa had not heard a compliment like that in years. It made her feel good.
Thank you.
What's your name?
My name is Victoria, little princess, but you can call me Miss Pearl. Very pleased to meet you.